It's so good to have you guys here this morning. Thanks for being here at The Dwelling, just a church where you can come as you are. Hey, I'd encourage you guys to pull out your phones and actually jump on Facebook, okay? And I want you to go to The Dwelling TX, and I want you to actually check in. It's really easy. You just go to the top. You guys probably all know how to do this. You just go to the top, those little three little dot thingamajiggers, hit it. Then there's a little button that says check in, and you can check in, okay? We want to just have you share out with all your friends and stuff that you're here, that this is a church where you find valuable and all that kind of stuff. So thanks so much for being here, guys, this morning. One quick announcement, which is on the 28th, we're going to be having a Fire Food Friends event right up actually at Miss Ashley and her husband Justin's house. And so they've offered their home to be a place where we can come and gather together. Basically have a party. And so I'm going to encourage you to check this out. What did we decide a time yet? We haven't even really decided that. 5:30 or 6 or something like that. Be watching Facebook. That's the big thing. Be watching Facebook, our email, our website. All that information is going to be on there. That's all this is go out to their house, drink some soda, maybe drink some beer, whatever, and just hang out. That's how we roll. Okay, so this is just a big party. We're going to have some good food. It's a great place just to invite some people out. We've done it at their house before, and it's an absolute blast. We'll have some bouncy houses and stuff for the kids, and it's just kind of a party. So I want to make sure you highlight that. Throw that down on your calendar, October 28th. Hey, so this morning we're going to be looking at prayer again. Last week we talked about prayer. In Matthew, the book of Matthew in the Bible, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is preaching a sermon, and right in the middle of that sermon, he starts teaching on prayer because his disciples want to know. Tell us a little bit about prayer. And so, hold on, I'm going to quick throw my phone up to make sure I'm keeping track of time. Woo, you know me. Boom. Hashtag boom. Okay, so literally, we're going to be looking at prayer over the next couple weeks. And the reason for this, quite honestly, more than anything else, is because I feel like I kind of suck at prayer. Okay? And so sometimes I'm going to bring you a word that I really feel like is deep within me, that I've just internalized a process I want to share with you really bad. But then there's other times where I'm like, no, I just want to go learn this for myself and help us as a whole church. And I feel like prayer is one of those things. Like, I don't feel like I'm a good prayer. And so one of kind of my main goals over the next couple weeks as we talk about prayer, especially looking at the Lord's Prayer, is simply to get us to pray. Like, if one thing happens that I just want from you more than anything else over the next couple weeks is that you just start praying. Like, just pray. Just pray. Just start praying. Like, to the Father, not to like Buddha or something like that. I'm not trying to do that. No, I'm just saying, like, just start praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. Just start praying. Pray, pray, pray. That's all I'm trying to get us to do. If, I'm not going to lie, if over the next couple weeks you do not, like, start to pray. Now, some of you are awesome at it, all right, but I'm talking about especially those of us who kind of struggle with it. If you do not start to pray, I will have failed. You see what I'm saying? So I don't want you to see this time as us trying to not change our lives or let God change our lives. Like, I want you to just start praying. That's what I'm trying to get us to do. That's it. We're going to spend a couple weeks on it because I'll be honest with you, I think I need a couple weeks on it. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Last week, we talked about how Jesus is getting us to think about not prayer as just out of our creatureness, but actually out of this relationship with when Jesus says to pray, he says, our Father. Say, our Father. And so Jesus begins to move us into this deep relationship with God, and prayer begins to flow out of that, right? Well, today, we're going to pick up kind of where we left off. But before we do that, one smile, who knows what's coming? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do come before you. We're so excited for what you're going to do in this message because I really believe that you're going to shape somebody's heart this morning. I really believe somebody's heart's going to get shaped in such a way that we will begin to pray and that we will begin to bring honor and glory to your name. And we just help us with that right now, Lord. Help us with that. We desperately need your help. Father, I pray that you would help me right now to simply share what you wanted to be shared all week. That word that's been kind of on my heart now, just let it, just your word, Lord. Your word, not a word more, not a word less. Please do that work in us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. In the middle of Jesus' sermon, Jesus says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. You ever think about that a little bit? Is God's name art? Okay. Our Father. That's kind of, you know, down in Texas, you could get that screwed up. Our Father, art in heaven. You know, his name is art. No, that's just old English, right? Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Let your name be made holy. Lord, make your name holy. Holyify your name, Lord. And when I thought of holyify, I thought of, show me the picture, boom, ha, Evander Holyfield. I don't know. It has nothing to do with the message, but I just, that's what I thought of. Holyify your name, Lord. Evander Holyfield, your name, you know. It's just his last name, guys. That's all that caught my attention. He still got part of his ear in that picture. Oh, yeah, okay. So Evander Holyfield, holyify your name. What does that mean? What does that mean that God, what does it mean that God asks us, not ask, he actually tells us to tell him to make holy his name. Isn't that kind of confusing? Because isn't it true? Yeah, isn't it true that it's already holy? Isn't God's name already holy? See, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer of basically Jesus saying, I want you to direct your attention to the Father. And then he says, say these seven petitions. Boom, boom, boom. These are like, God wants us to tell him something. And the first thing, this is so interesting to me, that the first thing he says to say is, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be holy. But isn't God's name already holy? And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking of Isaiah chapter 6. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, has a vision of God on his throne. And God is there, and the seraphim are there, which is this angel creature thing with six wings coming off of them, okay? These guys are studs. You don't mess with these guys. And these guys are like standing around the throne of God. And what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy. They just keep going. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy. And actually, the text says that they're telling this to each other. They're not even telling it to God. They're telling it to each other. They're like, holy is this. Look at this. Holy, so holy is this guy. And they just keep telling each other, holy, holy, holy. And for like all of eternity, that's what they're doing. They're just like, holy, holy is God, because this vision of God on his throne is so holy. It's just so perfect already. All glory, all just awesomeness. Holy, holy, holy. And then God says, I want you to say to me, hallowed be your name. What is that? What is that? Well, the first thing I want to point out to you is something that you kind of don't catch in the English, okay? If you read through Matthew a little bit further, you find out, and you kind of, you can see it, you can see it making sense in English, but it really kind of pops in the Greek. More so, the Greek, see, look at this. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, right? Those first three petitions, though, especially in the Greek, are kind of held together by that phrase, on earth as in heaven. Now, we always put it with, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done, right? I always say, let's go through the whole thing, just think about it. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So we think, okay, that's where that goes. Well, here's the deal. In the Greek, actually, these three petitions are kind of held together as a unit, and all of them you can say with, even in the English, you could do this too, on earth as in heaven. So you can literally say, hallowed be thy name on earth as in heaven. Thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Now, many of you are thankful we don't do that because that would make the prayer longer and that, you know. Oh, man, you guys are tough. But you see, but you could literally say it. And so literally God is saying, what I want you to do is tell me to make holy my name on earth as in heaven. Now, what does that look like? What does that mean? Okay? Make holy. See, unlike so many gods in the past, where their gods are kind of out there, whether it be Greek mythology, whatever it might be, okay? The Greek gods, right, are just kind of floating around out there. See, our God is different in that our God takes his name and he interacts with creation. He actually takes his name and puts it into creation. Let me show you what I mean by this. 2 Chronicles chapter, I don't even remember. I know it's on the screen always, but I like reading right out of this, baby. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 6. Listen to what it says. This is God coming to the people of Israel, and listen to what he says. Chapter 6, verse 6. God's saying this. I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there. Isn't that kind of interesting? That my name might be there. And I chose, and I've chosen David to be over my people, Israel. And so literally in the Old Testament, God takes the people of Israel, his chosen people, and he says to them, I want to come and I want to put my name among you. This is what God does. He has Solomon build him a temple. Okay, this is the king. This is one of the kings during this time. Solomon builds this temple. Then God comes and dwells among his people. And so literally the people can literally say, like, where's God? He's right over there. He's in that piece of real estate over there. He's in that temple. And God comes and places his name amongst his people. But this is fascinating. Because instantly, just like that, God puts skin in the game. Okay? He puts skin in the game. Because now he has associated himself with a people. He's associated himself with a localized region. And he has said, okay, what I do is going to affect you, and what you do is going to be affecting my name. You are actually, God actually saying, you will become a representative of my name. You're going to become a representative of my name. I'm going to put myself among you, and you will begin to carry my name. Now, this is going to make more sense in just a second, but we do this all the time. We carry each other's names, don't we? Don't we do that? Anybody married in here that took their guy's name? Say, we do this. All of a sudden, we you know, families do. My kids do this. My kids took my name, right? I've got a picture here of my family, the Kunze clan. This is us. That's right. Get her done. That's how we roll. This is my clan up in Wisconsin. There's about 35. I don't even honestly know. Honestly, I don't know how many of us. All of us over Thanksgiving, even this year, will be up in Wisconsin in a house for an entire week with one bathroom in that house. I kid you not. That actually is real true. Now, just last year, we finally got a porta potty. But this is kind of the Kunze clan. This is the Kunze clan. I love my family so much. We just, it's so awesome. And we just love being together. But isn't it true that when you're a Kunze, you represent the Kunze name? See? You represent being a Kunze. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Some of us got some stories. Well, here's mine. I owned my first pickup truck was a 1968 Chevy pickup truck, 292 in it. Okay, this baby, it was something else. It's just a beaut, I called her Sally. She's still running today. My dad's got her. He makes wood with her. But Sally was my pickup truck, and me and my buddy one day, we were out on this gravel road, and I'll be honest with you. Kids, close your ears for a second. But we were just out on this gravel road just doing, you know, just tearing it up. We were whipping donuts with it. I don't even know how because this truck really is not built for this. But we're whipping donuts, and we're just tearing up this gravel road thing and just being total goobers, right? And so we're doing this and just having a great time. And all of a sudden, I realized we were doing this right in front of this guy's kind of yard. And I, all of a sudden I saw him get into his truck, and I was like, we got to get out of here. So we take off down the road. We're like, all right, let's get out of here as fast as we can, right? So we start driving down the road. But now this truck is a had a 292 in it, had a granny low. You know, you start out in second gear, then you go to third, then you go to fourth, and you don't go to fifth because there isn't one. You see what I'm saying? There's no fifth gear. This baby don't have overdrive. You're going 55, and you're kind of like, that's about as fast as we can go. So that's just the way this truck is built. And so I'm driving down the road. I'm trying to get away as fast as I can. All of a sudden, in the rearview mirror, I see this guy, flying, blue pickup truck, flying down the road to catch me. Man, I really hope, we're recording this. If you're listening to this on audio, sir, I'm sorry, I apologize. But literally, the guy is flying down the road trying to chase me. And I can remember back to where we ended up stopping, and it was a long ways away from this guy's house. My point is, I was running from this guy for a while, and he was right on me the whole time, and he wanted me to pull over. Well, finally, because we're not going to run away with this thing going 55 miles an hour down the road, finally, I pull over to the side of the road, and I'm like, okay, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. But he comes up, and oh my goodness, rolls down the window, and what the beep, 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 you know, I mean, just goes into us. Starts cussing us out like crazy, just so mad, so angry, and all this kind of stuff. And I was just kind of like, okay, we totally made a mistake. So, you know, we were just taking it. And we knew that this is a small community. Everybody knows everybody kind of thing, right? But what really got me was as he was pulling away, I kid you not, I can remember this. As he's pulling away, I can remember him cussing out my dad's name. I remember that. See, this guy didn't even care about us one bit. We're just a bunch of yippersnapper kind of kids, right? He didn't care about us. He didn't know us. But he knew my dad. And I remember thinking, man, I should go and just get this. Oh, that really fired me up. But then I stopped and thought about it. I was like, that's exactly what was going on. I was representing my dad. Right? The people in the community, they didn't know me. They didn't care about me. They knew my dad, though. And just like that, whipping some donuts, goofing off, being kids, all of a sudden, it went from just kind of no big deal to all of a sudden a guy has a bad understanding, a bad reputation. All of a sudden, my dad gets the bad reputation. The kids he's raising, right? Those Kunze boys. And just like that, all of a sudden, I'm not bringing honor. I'm not hallowing my dad's name. All of a sudden, I'm bringing dishonor to his name. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, we do this with God so often. A God who has come to put his name into our lives, to put his name. Miss Jennifer, 2 weeks ago when she was baptized, what did we say? We say, Miss Jennifer, I baptize you in the what? Name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And God places his name on her. And all of a sudden, his name is associated with her. And then so often, just like so many of us, and just so often what happens is we begin to live our lives not in accordance with that. Not as representatives of our God. This is the marriage that for like 4 years, they're married for 4 years, and then eventually they're just like, man, I just don't want to put any more energy into this. I just don't love him anymore. I'm not talking about like he's beating her. I'm not talking about like, affair style. Jesus has something to say about it. I'm talking about just somebody that's just like, I just don't love him anymore. I just don't care about him anymore. Really? Do you know how much that dishonors God? In a moment where you've actually, in your marriage, you've said, God, we want you to be in this. We want your name to be in this. And now we start to represent God that way? Or our kids? Our kids that turn out just like every other kid. They're just selfish. My wife and I, we've been talking about this. We've been kind of concerned about our own kids a little bit with some of this. Like, just, do we want our kids in an affluent, you know, society that we kind of live in to be raised to not have a good understanding of what it means to steward God's resources? Are they going to turn out like all the other kids and just see buying stuff? Is it really? Does that bring honor to God? Does that hallow his name? Those of us who do not take seriously God's word, I know I'm kind of coming after you this morning. I'm really not, but I kind of am. But, you know, those of us who don't take seriously God's word, like, it's just not that serious. Like, I don't, listen, if you say, you know, if there's this trust in God and then there's not a regular hearing from him, that's not bringing honor to him. If we're not in prayer, seeking him out, that's like, that's not bringing him honor. That's not representing him well. I've got some more verses we're going to go to in a second to kind of show this. This isn't what we do, right? Corporate worship, gathering together. If it's just not seen as important, it's just not that big of a deal, really? Is that how, is that a, and listen, I'm not even talking to those people that are maybe atheists or maybe somebody who's just like search a seat. I'm not even talking to you right now. I'm just talking about those who are saying, yeah, I'm all in on this. I'm all in on this. But then we see, you know, I had a friend of mine say with this church plan, he's like, just so you know, Seth, you will find that regular attendance today by people is something that's like once a month or once every, and I was like, I don't believe that. I was just like, I do not agree with that. And I'm, you know, it's just like, I still don't, honestly, for our church. I won't believe it. No, I'm just kidding. But it's like, really? Is that how we represent God? To be a representative of him? I know I'm coming really hard there, but I want you to understand that this is something we all struggle with. And essentially, all I'm really saying, and I kind of went a little, really pointed there, but really all I'm saying is all sin does this, doesn't it? But see, when we say all sin does that, then we all get off the hook because we're like, okay, that's everybody, right? But I'm actually trying to come after us a little bit. Me? My kids, we gotta do something. We've been talking about how can we maybe even just do like a fast of treats and stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, we want to be thinking about this kind of stuff. Ezekiel 36, I just want to show you this. Ezekiel 36. Now, I got to teach a little bit on this before I get really into it. The people of God are in Jerusalem, right? God is in Jerusalem. He's in his temple. And he's putting his name out there. And then everything that the people of Israel are doing or not doing begins to be associated with the name of God. And you don't even know how bad I want to wish. There's so much I want to tell you this morning, I can't. But this week has been nothing but cut, because just for time's sake, there's so much on the name of God that I want to teach, but I can't. Why did I even share all that just now? I don't know. I'm just so excited about this. There's so much. I know I could have thought so much good stuff. But what I want you to understand is that the name of God is being associated with Israel at this time. Around 586 B.C., the Babylonians come in and destroy the temple. And the Babylonians take the people out of the temple, out of Jerusalem, and they take them to Babylon over here. The Babylonians take the people of Israel to Babylon as their captives, okay? And they plant them over there. When that begins to take place, this is the context of what this says right here. Ezekiel chapter 36. Listen to what this says. Ezekiel 36 verse 20. But when they came to the nations, Ezekiel is saying this, but when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name, in that the people of Babylon said to them, of them, these are the people of the Lord? Oh man, I'm going to be coming after you here in a second. These are the people of the Lord, and yet they had to go out of his land? You follow that? So literally, the people of Israel are taken to Babylon as captives, and they're walking into Babylon, they're walking through the city, and the people of Babylon look at those people, and they're like, wait, these are the people of the Lord, or Yahweh? These are the people of the Lord right here? And they had, these are the people of the Lord? And we just took them down? And notice what really, really chaps, really profanes God's name is when that takes place. That just chaps God. He is not happy. because his people had followed other gods and his people could have cared less about it. And eventually God, yeah, he's kind of in the temple, but we're kind of doing our own thing. We're doing our thing over here and we're just kind of living it up the way we want to live it up. And all of a sudden God comes in and is like, I'm going to punish you. And I'm going to have you taken into captivity. Now, these, man, do you see how pointed that is? Just pointed that is. These are the people of the Lord. Do you ever feel like that? These are the people of the Lord? See? Really? I don't know about you, but that leaves me almost feeling like, what the heck? Yeah, why, man, me. And listen, I'm not talking about being perfect here this morning. I'm talking about being a sinner. I'm talking about struggling. I'm talking about, but what does this leave us with when somebody looks at us and says, this is the person of the Lord? The divorce rate in Christianity is the same as not? Kids of your kids and the kids of my kids look the exact same. You spend money the exact same way you spend money. You live your life the exact same way that I live my life. You do that. You work this many hours, everybody does it. Do you see that? You choose colleges the exact same way I choose colleges. These are the people of the Lord. What does that do to us? What does that begin to drive us to? And that's kind of what I want to just move to for a second. Just two quick more points. Just settle down. Just two quick points. I believe one of the things that it really drives us to, first and foremost, is to repent and ask God to do something. Holyify your name, Lord. Make holy your name. Lord, do something. This is the phrase that I've kind of put in my brain this week. Do something that would bring holiness. Do something that would bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, you're going to have to be the one to do something in me and through me and in this world, on this earth. You got to do something to bring honor and glory to your name. And one of the two things that I want to talk about is, first thing that God does to bring honor and glory to his name is he does something. Look at what Daniel says. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 9, says this. Listen, chapter 9, verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive me. Forgive us. O Lord, pay attention and act. Do not delay for your own sake. Oh my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. God, you got to do something. You got to show up. You got to make something happen, Lord, please. And this is what Jesus does when Jesus comes on the scene, right? Breaks into creation and literally puts on flesh and all of a sudden becomes just kind of in this single God-man person. He becomes the new Israel, and all of a sudden, he actually literally puts on flesh, but dies for you and for me. His name gets profaned in the worst of ways by becoming sin. And why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? He's doing this so that we might receive. It's the great like reversal, right? Where Jesus takes our sin and brokenness upon himself so that he might place his name in you and that you might receive his righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. For whose sake? His name's sake. Holy smoking. And then, at the end, according to Philippians 2, we don't have it on the screen, according to Philippians chapter 2, at the end of all time, what happens? At the name of who do we all bow? Not at the sight of, not at the hearing. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Just at the name. Just at the name. Hallowed be your name. Make holy your name. Listen, he will. He has, and he will. He has, and he will. And by the promise of his Spirit now, who dwells inside of those who have their name placed upon them, I would say especially in baptism, but even in just the hearing of the word, right? the name that's placed on them. Make holy, do something. And all of a sudden, yeah, all of a sudden we become associated with God. We become places where Jesus dwells. And this is the second point. I'm really quick. I'm going to move fast here. This is the second and kind of last point that I want to make. That there's another little point that God makes of how he gets more glory. And it's like this. Ezekiel chapter 36. So just where we had been. And God starts to get really chapped because the people of God are being taken into slavery and that fires him up. And so this is what he says then. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God. Now the people are in captivity. Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God. When through you, I vindicate my holiness before my eyes, the nations will know that I am the Lord. And I want to quick show you Matthew chapter 5, the same sermon that we've been in this whole time. Chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? Why? Why shine your light? Why be a representative? So that they may see and then give glory to the Father. This is what we do, guys. This is what we do. This is how we roll. The name of God upon you. And when you begin to fall short and when you begin to mess up, he just keeps on coming. And he keeps on loving you and caring for you for his name's sake. This is what we keep praying. Lord, you got to do something this week. You got to do something in our hearts, in our lives. I've been trying to practice this past week. All the way from little simple things to like, dear Jesus, please, please bring me a deer. I'm not kidding. You think I'm joking? I was like, please bring me a deer. And when that happens, when a deer comes walking in and I pull back my bow and I shoot it and it dies, I will so glorify your name that you've provided food for our family. I will. That's what I'm going to do. I'll actually do that. I'll praise your name for that. Now, I didn't see anything that night, okay? And that's okay because thy will be done is coming, see? But all the way to this morning, I've been praying all week, Lord, do the work. Do something in somebody's life this morning that you would get the glory for that, Lord. Do something in somebody's heart, somebody's life, that you would receive glory and honor and praise, that your name would be hallowed. This is what it looks like, guys. When the marriage lasts for 5, 6, 10, 4, 15, 30 years, 50 years, and people are like, not these are the people of the Lord. No, these are the people of the Lord. There they are. When the kids grow up and maybe just become a, you know, just garbage truck driver, but are followers, disciples of Jesus, man, there's nothing better than that. When the college kid who doesn't just choose college because, that's where my parents went, that's where I'm going to go, that's where I think I'm going to go. No, when the college kid actually gets on their hands and knees and prays, Lord, what do you want from me? That brings honor to God. When the kids, hey, you kids, when you're obedient to your parents and God's name is on your heart and you're obeying your parents, that brings honor to God. That actually brings honor to God. So I realize we got to stop. But God gets honor because he keeps coming, he keeps working, and also when we are his representatives and the nations, other people look in and see, oh yeah, that is different. That is different. This morning, all I'm asking you to do is be a representative of the Lord. Keep praying that prayer, hallowed be thy name on earth. Hallowed, holy be your name in my own life, Lord. How can I hallow your name? How can I hallow your name? Let's pray. Lord, I don't know if I got across what you wanted me to this morning. All I know, Lord, is I want to keep praying what you tell me to pray. Holyify my name. Help me with that, Lord. Help us with that. We want to bring honor and glory to you. We want you to receive such praise and such glory. We want you to receive the praise and glory of even others who see what we're doing and then look to you, though. It's all we're trying to do is point people to you, Jesus. We so desperately need your help in this, Lord, because we so oftentimes make so many mistakes. And Lord, for that, we are just so sorry. We come before you and we repent. We're sorry where we have taken your name in vain. Just even at like a bare minimum, Lord, where we have just said Jesus and oh my God so many times, even when just about the football guy throwing a touchdown pass. Just even those like bare bones, basic ways we profane your name, we're sorry. We're sorry. Lord, and then those even deeper places in our life, those deeper places where it's maybe more subtle, where we're just not representing you very well. And as name bearers, your name bearers, we're sorry for where we have sinned and where we've dishonored your name. And where people have looked at us and said, really? That's the Christian? That's right there? Man, we're sorry for that, Lord. We repent. Lord, we just need your help. We just need your help really bad. Please work in our life. Please work in us your spirit, granting us the strength to live for you, to literally live for you. Even as we live in this world and we are in relationship with others, we just want them to see you as their God. Just help us with this, Lord. Please help. Our God does forgive. And he forgives you right now. Your sins are forgiven because of what he's done for you. Through his death on the cross. Your sins are forgiven, and he does promise to be with you and to strengthen you and to help you. Let him get the glory in that. And now, may our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. May he go with you in all that you do this next week. Go with him, his name.